Welcome back to another episode of the Real Bars Read podcast. This time, it's just Jana and Miles. No special guests, but we are the special guests. We're so excited to be recording this. Just the two of us, we've had some time off and wanted to come back to regroup and talk about how the podcast is going and some of the things that we've learned. This is a really important time for us to just reflect on the past year of the podcast.
Yeah, we're going to be interviewing ourselves today. And I'll kick it off just by asking you, Miles, what have you been up to in the last few months?
What have I been up to? Man, so in the last couple of weeks, we went our trip to Europe.
Yep.
To Serbia and some other countries with a good friend. He's an entrepreneur, and so getting to learn from him and be under his guidance in how to build a company was really interesting and cool. And the month prior to that, I was back home in Columbus and just chilling and taking time to keep working on other projects. What else? And I'm about to move to Chicago like the next week.
Yeah.
Get to move on Monday and move out of Brooklyn. So I just kind of sell my mattress and my bed frame, and I'm just really excited to head out, honestly.
Right. It sounds like a pretty big transition. So how is New York? Why are you moving to Chicago? What are you looking forward to?
Yeah. So, you know, I've kind of been hating on New York City since I found out that I was moving, you know what I'm saying? But I think I'll look back on it more fondly than I've experienced it. But basically, yeah, moving for family and work. So you're in Chicago, and my new job with Compass College Advisory is in Chicago. So just excited to begin further my career in education with college consulting and growing that. And I don't even know. We're so unused to being interviewed, bro.
I know.
We got to get better at this. I love it, though.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. What have you been up to these last couple of months, though?
Oh, man. Well, the first thing was definitely moving back from Germany. My fiance, Simone, shout out, she retired from professional volleyball and decided to come back home. And from basically like mid-May on through the rest of the summer, we were just moving into our apartment in Oak Park, Illinois, right 10 minutes outside of Chicago. It is an incredible space. I love our apartment, and I love being nearby so many of our friends. I was talking about it with her last night. I think one of the really special things about just like this new chapter for us is how excited people are when they like visit our apartment. I mean, when you and our sister Grace and our parents came, there's just so much excitement around just the neighborhood and our apartment. And I think that was a really good feeling, just for signaling that not only are we making good choices for ourselves, but for everyone around us that we care about. And I think us definitely having like a stable home here made it a lot easier to convince you to move to Chicago. I mean, we haven't been in the same place together in the whole time that we've been doing Real Ballers Read, really, except for those first few months at DA and then in Dayton for a little second before you went back to school. So I think that everything's going to change, but then at the same time, everything's going to kind of return to, you know, what we've always kind of been on, if that makes sense.
The proximity matters.
Yeah, definitely.
Because even with us like talking every single day, yeah, I definitely feel like the times when we've been in the same place at the same time, we can just bounce ideas off like more frequently and just execute more on projects literally right there in the same room.
Yeah, definitely. I think
everything will be easier for all the fans of the podcast. You will be hearing more episodes And
that's right.
We really want this podcast now to be a safe, sacred space for us to learn and grow and talk more. We really love the guest format, but we were like, we need to be more consistent in general and feel like there's so much opportunity to talk about a lot of cool things. And we just hope that y'all are just as excited as we are.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, I mean, Miles, have we even talked about why we started the podcast? Like, what was?
I think we kind of did it in the first episode, but not really.
Like, yeah, but not like, really, right? Yeah. See, I think that's one thing,
right,
that we realized in Serbia was just how guest forward we've been so far. Mm-hmm. I think that we definitely needed to be, because that's what felt like a real podcast to us, was having guests and talking about their favorite books. I mean, it was incredibly enjoyable. We learned so much. We'll get into those lessons in a second. But I think we started to realize as well how much we needed and wanted to say in order to connect with you, our listener, so much better that we weren't really making time for. And I think it was a lot easier to schedule and keep up with guests when we're distanced, just because it was kind of like relatively high stakes. But we were basically having our one-on-one podcast conversations like almost every day, really. We just got to the point where we're like, man, like we might as well just record these too, put a little more structure to them.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, this is definitely a great opportunity for us to just talk about what the podcast was for, how for you, Miles, has the purpose of the podcast changed? You just talked about that a little bit, but could you get deeper into that?
Yeah, so the podcast at first was an idea to have a different kind of book podcast. When we had first thought about it, it was like, yeah, guests always talk about their own books. You always have authors and writers having to kind of get on shows to talk about the same things every single time. But what if there's a format in which they get to talk about the books that really created their love of reading and writing? And we just thought that would be a really excellent education for us. And that was in what, spring of 2021? Feels like a long time ago, but that was last year.
Yeah.
And right, so we've been doing it for a year now, and every single episode and guest it has felt different in its own way. Always a little nervous, but always been excited to get to know someone and do the podcast at the same time. It's kind of a challenging activity now, looking back on it, and especially doing even this podcast now. I'm realizing just how anxious I have been over the last 40 episodes, because I just feel really calm now. And even though this is a new feeling, it's definitely not the same feeling as when we have a guest on and I'm like, oh shit, like not perform. But yeah, I think it really can't be understated that like we met 40 strangers over Zoom for the first time, while also trying to have interesting /deep conversation with them is its own challenge. But yeah, I'm trying to think of the real purpose aside from that original idea. It always just felt to have fun. Do you think that the podcast though, like ever changed in its purpose or style, or what do you think?
No, not until now, I guess, just transitioning into more casual conversations. Well, more structured and casual conversations between the two of us. But I think at least for me at first, it was really just kind of doing something fun, doing something a little different. And it wasn't until a few episodes in that I realized that the podcast was really a natural extension of our just love and practice of reading books on our own. And you know, I just I think about the last 40 episodes and how much we've learned in terms of like interpersonal skills, as well as like the content and what people are actually saying, that mm-hmm. makes it its own kind of grad degree, if you would call it, that we kind of like designed ourselves, and it was fully about our own initiative. And I think that was really cool to just see how we really did kind of create a tailor-made education for ourselves just by throwing into podcasts. We had no experience whatsoever. We really didn't know what we were doing, but we did, I think, have enough confidence in ourselves as curious and caring people to mm-hmm. kind of like put ourselves in the ring like that. Mm-hmm. But all this is really just talking about the first lesson that we wanted to talk about, and that is go first. We really believe that the biggest lesson of this podcast was just a matter of showing the power of taking initiative, because even with all the challenges, with all the like little annoying things or the nuances that we learned and didn't expect, at the end of the day, we definitely brought 40 great people into our lives just by reaching out, just by having something that we believed in, creating the podcast, and then welcoming them into our sacred space, as you described it, Miles. Mm-hmm. And so what do you think about go first, like in terms of the
podcast? Man, like, I think, I don't know who said it or where we learned this, but I think go first is a great way to say that you should always be ready to do things that you don't necessarily feel ready for yet. And I feel like the podcast was one of those things where you just kind of had to act. I think, especially for our personality types, which are very intellectual, like we like to really think a lot about things and possibly at times overthink things. Yeah. And I think like the podcast was one of the special times that we're growing into where we know that we just kind of have to take action first before we start worrying about equipment and exactly how it's going to look or sound or mm-hmm. everything. Like, we literally just recorded that first podcast, and the audio quality was not as good as it is now. Video quality, like, we were not as confident, more awkward. But thinking about that first episode with Forrest, like, it was still really fun. And I was literally reading 12-week year, starting it for the first time. And I was really struck by this quote too, where author said that, like, the only thing that you have to sacrifice to start living the life that you're capable of is your comfort. And I think that's really what go first means. And in conversation too, I think go first is a very important principle in terms of being vulnerable enough to ask a question that you might feel is difficult, or to share something about your own self or life, to kind of get someone else to open up. So,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No, and that actually makes me think as well. I mean, how would you say that your own perspective about just like your life in general changed as we got deeper into the podcast?
Well, since you asked it, it means that you have a good answer for it. I'll answer second.
Okay, I'll go first then. I'll answer my own question. I was asking it because I had an answer for you, which is that I think that...
Dang, bro, you just go and speak the words?
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, I've observed how I think you've changed through the podcast. And it goes for myself too, but to a lesser extent. But I've noticed how the podcasting, like, mind is very hard to turn off. Like, when you're interacting with other people, because there'd be sometimes, like, basically we got to the point where, like, any... person that we were meeting for the first time, we could just like question, follow-up question, like side joke, little story, question. I think we just kind of like are just exercising those get to know you, like hit it off, have a deep conversation right when we meet you, kind of muscles that has made it a lot easier to go into that mode all the time, which, I mean, you kind of take it for what it is, but I do appreciate just seeing how that skill has grown.
That might be more illusion than insight, though. And I say this, like, why would we want to have a podcast with that many guests in the first place, right? I think after we started the podcast and started to ask really sharp questions for fun in a recorded setting, and we have this track record of it, it becomes more evident in our own lives when we start asking those same sharp quiet questions. But I think you and I both had a reputation for that kind of deep questioning prior to the podcast.
That's fair.
It wasn't tracked specifically.
Yeah.
But you come on, bro. You have been known to just be sitting with folks for hours and just like talking to them, and
that is true.
Not grilling them. But I think that's kind of what makes, I don't know, doing things difficult. What is a better way to say it? So let's say that, you know, you or I wanted to be an actor, right? And then in our everyday lives, we start acting strange or start to act like characters. And then folks are just like, oh, you've changed because you wanted to be an actor now. But it's really just like how someone has interpreted you through the lens of that desire to be an actor. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's changed their outlook on the way you behave in general. But I think that we do that for ourselves personally too. Any time that we get like a new label, all of our traits are, oh, you're so this or that. It's kind of a star sign thing too, I think.
Yeah, I think you're on something. You might be right, bro. Like, I think I guess I wonder how much the like confidence boost does improve the skills themselves, though, because yes, I was doing it before, but I definitely felt more guilty about it at times, or kind of like self-conscious about it in a way that I just don't anymore. And so I guess maybe there is something there just in how the podcast has changed our personal interactions. But I do see exactly what you're saying. It kind of like revealed what we were already doing. Right. In a very specific context.
Right.
Yeah.
So the second lesson, though, I really like too. And it's kind of a great follow-up to go first, because it is follow-up.
It's literally follow-up. Lesson number two, follow-up.
What do you think follow-up means for you now coming out of the podcast? I feel like our concept has grown immensely.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, I think like when I first thought of follow-up, I was thinking of it fully within the context of email communication because at first we are trying to reach out to people through Instagram or email. If we find their emails, or someone will be like, oh, don't DM me about this, go to my email. And well, people are super busy, right? Especially for just like us to be emailing randomly. I mean, it's very easy for people to like just ignore it or see it and think, oh, I'll get back to this later, and then they never do. But we, on the other side of that, just putting our name in the hat, so to speak, I think we were definitely really insecure about that, just like even reaching out in the first place, let alone following up. And of course, so many, or not so many, but there were a good number of people who we wouldn't have had on a podcast if we didn't follow up with. And I think it really came down to us realizing that we don't have to take it personally when, you know, people don't respond the first time. If anything, it's like kind of disrespectful to assume that they will just respond back immediately, because people have so many things going on, obviously. But then it was funny how we got to the point where the more that we were following up, we realized the more of a chance that we would get a response, even if it was no, at least we had some sort of two-way communication with the person. And I think maybe this is a way where I think the podcast actually did improve my just general life skills, because following up was always something that I had challenges with. Mm-hmm. And realizing how, yeah, in kind of what you were saying, like sacrificing our comfort to follow up on email, I was like, wait a second, this isn't so bad. But if it doesn't work the first time, there are always other tries that you can take. And mm-hmm. I think that was pretty empowering just to see how important like persistence is, because you really don't know what someone else's life or what they're going through, but you know, all you can do is kind of communicate in a forthright, respectful manner. And so that's kind of where the follow-up was coming from. What do you think though?
What is your favorite email follow-up story from this past year?
Oh, definitely Jacqueline Woodson.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think she's like the queen of the importance of following up. I mean, yeah. How many times did you have to email her before she had responded?
I think like at least 4 times the first time.
Yeah, the first time, exactly. But then we also got introduced to her by Nina Collins, our second guest. Shout out to her. So we got the intro from her, and then you reached out 4 times, and then she was like, oh, let's do this later. And then how many was it after that?
I don't remember, bro.
Yeah. Well, I know that we have a thread with her now that's like close to 30 emails. And right. A lot of them are just us being like, oh, hey, like just checking in, see if you have time. And she'll be like, oh, thanks for getting back to me.
I honestly feel like you have followed up more after the podcast.
Than yeah. Even,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, yeah. Definitely. Definitely. And yeah, no, I mean, that number and the thread is like very important, I think, for just signaling to people like, oh, this is an ongoing conversation. I mean, what I really appreciated about her, though, was that she said up front, if you don't hear from me in 2 days, like follow up.
Wow.
Right. And it's because, and then I was like, wait a second, that makes total sense. Cause if we're talking about Jacqueline Woodson, her email is probably just constantly getting flooded with stuff. After 2 days, like it's gone. Right. So you might as well just keep going back and just kind of be humble in that check-in. So that's definitely the number one story for sure with that.
Yeah, I think. It's not I didn't even have to follow up, but my favorite email story is probably Lewis Gordon, man, because I was in England at the time that I emailed him.
Yeah.
I was in this hotel room that was like Harry Potter attic small, and it was late at night. It must have been like 1 a.m. And I just sent the email off to him. And then literally like 20 minutes later, like he has the form filled out. All beautifully for the automatics.
Yeah.
Changed my life and put me on the path to struggle for freedom. And I was, damn, like,
yeah,
I was so nervous to email this guy for like weeks, thinking that I had to go read all of his books and, you know, yeah. And
yeah,
just email someone and you never know how they'll receive it or respond back.
Yeah.
And I feel like, yeah, we've just been humbled by a lot of folks who even haven't gotten the chance to come on the show. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think maybe like a corollary to how hard it is to reach out to connect with people is also how easy it is too, right? Where Lewis Gordon was literally an email away. Like I remember when you reached out to me afterwards being like, yo, this man got back to me in 20 minutes. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I think too, I mean, I think on this point of follow-up, that definitely is kind of the impetus for us in wanting to evolve the podcast and how we run it as well. Because being so focused on trying to get guests on definitely takes a lot of work. And I think we were so kind of deferential to the guest format that,
yeah,
you know, it just kind of like made our episode drops very inconsistent. And then they would pile up and they'd all be like
right.
A weekend. And then we'd have to edit and everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so now that we're going to be in the same place, especially, it's just going to be a lot easier to be talking nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be fun. Yeah, yeah. Shout out to our mom too, straight up, for giving us this idea probably a year like a year ago saying that we should start doing the podcast, just the two of us.
Yeah,
that's pretty much the time horizon that always fits. It's she'll start saying a year prior. Hey, that is a great idea. So
I know.
Lesson three, though, what is it?
Attention is the greatest gift that you can give to yourself and others.
And what does that mean? How did you come to that from the podcast?
You came to it, actually. That's why I was hoping you'd speak on it more.
I do remember. I did, actually. Yes.
Yeah.
I think I was in one of those New York City sad boy modes where I was like, man, like, I'm not hanging out with any of my friends as much as I wanted to. And right, I think I was feeling most fulfilled by the podcast and the energy that I was getting from the podcast. And yeah, folks talk about the attention economy and how companies are buying our attention for profit, all of this stuff with social media. But I think the primary consequence of this stuff in our lives is actually more subtle. And I think it's because we all have the expectation that we are all online all the time. And then, so when your friend doesn't respond back to your text, it feels especially worse because you know that they're off their phone doing something. But it's like you are not important enough to text back even 2-3 weeks out. And then so attention becomes a true gift when it can be used in so many ways. So yeah, and I'm notoriously a bad texter too, but you know, I try to replace that or to make up for that in like real life conversation. And I think that's where my attention is given best. Yeah, just the ability to actually listen to someone in person or in this format over Zoom, I think is just so much better than other forms of communication. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I really think it's just like the whole variety of different ways to communicate. We have such high expectations on each other that I think I'm starting to bring down personally. It's busy and I understand that, but I still think it feels like a rare and important gift to give to others.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's incredible. And I want to ask, like, what exactly made the podcast so fulfilling, right? Is there a specific episode or story that just like really kind of like gave you that feeling of, wow, like this is incredible. This is what I live for. Like, all right.
I don't know, man. I think over time, like over the course of the year, I think that you can speak to this too. Just having like random friends come up to us and say they listened to it or were impacted, I think was just so crazy to hear. Because we were so unconcerned with audience at first, but then to see folks listening to it and like caring about the show, and even that like random Apple Podcast review that we got, I think outcome and impact, we are not thinking about so much when we're doing it, but that's why when you feel it, it feels even more like special. And because we're not seeking it out, we're not seeking out the positive confirmation, but it would be wrong for me to admit that like receiving it kind of gives an extra boost of like just joy and confidence for what we're doing. Kind of what you feel when you moved into your apartment and you had all of us come in, and just the radiance that we felt in that place was a great, great sign that, right, that was like a home. It felt like a home. So you just moved in. Mm-hmm. But aside from the impact and outcome, just a lot of fun while in the shows. Yeah. What do you think?
Definitely. Well, I mean, the first story that came to mind for me was with Travis.
Wow.
Because so
this story, man.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, everybody knows like the episode. We brought the man back on for more. Because
you have to bring him
over. Yeah, he was just so dope. I know we really do. Shout out Travis. But yeah, so basically, like, Travis is such a funny story to me because he had the most interesting like range of books that we had seen on Bookstagram, definitely. And we were just like, yo, who is this guy? We're thinking he's like our age or something. And he selects a book called Talking to Strangers by Malcolm Gladwell, which really rubbed me the wrong way. I think it did for you too, but I was like, what is going on in this book? I love the rest of Malcolm Gladwell's books, but that one really just didn't do it for me. And I was like really uncomfortable going into that interview with Travis because I was like, man, like every book that we've read for this podcast so far has blown my mind. I really loved it. I've gone into the conversation excited to talk about the book. And here we are going into a conversation with somebody who apparently loves a book that I hated, right? It was literally like one of the worst books I've ever read. But, you know, we show up for the podcast and learn a few things very quickly. We learn that this is a grown man. They're just black, don't crack. This is a grown man. He's in the military. And he actually teaches talking to strangers to help all of his students, other soldiers, understand what it means to literally talk to strangers. And it was turned out to be a real meta conversation because we're talking about talking to strangers while we're talking to this stranger, Travis. But I think the fact that we showed up and gave him the attention that we do for everybody on the podcast, the whole point of the podcast is to give attention to other people and to hit it off with him as well as we did. We got to the end of that podcast and I was like, yo, like, the fact that we have our different opinions on that book, like, just made it even more valuable and a funny story and exciting that we connected with them so well, even though we didn't like the specific book. And I'm sure that Travis and all the people in his life appreciate it as well. This is another thing about attention being the greatest gift, is that we gave attention to Travis for that first episode. He gave attention back to us. He did ask us questions as well. We learned a lot about each other and just the power of giving attention. And then he went and shared that podcast with literally everybody that he knows. And it was like one of our most listened to episodes just off of his enthusiasm. Yeah, just off of his enthusiasm for the episode and what we were talking about and really fucking with us. And that really like warmed my heart, just the spirit that he brought to the episode so much, where he's, yeah, we got to do it again. And we were like, absolutely. So I think that's a definite story that comes to mind for the power of attention and just how fulfilling this podcast has been.
Wow. That is a great, great example.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm mad we didn't get to see Travis when we were in Eastern Europe. Cause he's out there now, but we just weren't even close. Well, we were close, but then far at the same time. So, yeah, shout out, Travis. Seriously. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, really thinking of every single guest, all had their own kind of unique qualities. And I feel like that kind of comes with the podcast being so unscripted.
Yeah.
Do you think it was easier to give attention when we didn't have pre-written questions or when like we were just kind of free-forming it? Because I definitely think that gave for, we were doing this podcast on hard mode I think for a lot of people, some of our guests wanted questions sent prior.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had felt kind of weird about that at times, but yeah, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think even though we didn't have prepared questions, we did a great job of reading the books beforehand, being on the same page with our guests as much as possible. And I think, I think just off of reading the book alone, that was a huge step in preparing to give and receive attention in the podcast episodes. I don't think it really had much to do with whether or not we had specific questions, just because we had some sort of common ground through the book. I will say, though, that it wasn't just the book, though, obviously, because there were some times where if I'm not feeling like it or I'm distracted, like I think I just realized all the ways that I can take more responsibility for being prepared just mentally, emotionally, physically, so that I can pay attention and listen to our guests and to each other. But yeah, that was like a bigger thing, just about making sure that I've eaten and gone to the bathroom and that I've kind of like cleared my mind so that I could really be present in the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you think?
I think this kind of goes into our next lesson. Kind of most of the time we didn't send pre-written questions. I feel like our questions really hit harder for guests because they felt like so genuine and coming from directly from the inspiration of what they were saying,
mm-hmm.
and listening intently. So I definitely feel like the unscripted shows do allow more for that real organic kind of thing to take place and for the conversation to just feel more, fun. Mm-hmm.
I guess where I was coming from with like questions on the podcast was like, because it was unscripted, we'd be in these situations where I'd be wondering about something and I'd be like, wow, I really don't know how they're going to respond to this or like what their answer is. And then
it's like the best questions are like ones where you like truly don't know.
Yeah. Cause I think what I'm saying is that it's the difference between like confirmation and surprise, I guess, is what I'm saying about the difference between school and the podcast questions, because I feel like a lot of times you ask questions in school when you probably already know the answer, or you're just trying to get confirmation on some like little fact or wrinkle or whatever. But questions work so differently in a podcast where we really have to embrace like what we don't know and be willing to be surprised at every step of the way. I mean, we were kind of just talking about it, just being surprised connecting with Travis, but I think that questions kind of admit or invite rather like surprise at every point.
Yeah. And
so my orientation towards like willingness to be surprised, like I think in basically every episode, there was a question we didn't know how someone was going to respond, and then they blew our minds with their response, and it was just like, oh snap, that's crazy. Like if we didn't admit that we just didn't know what they were gonna say, we wouldn't have gotten that great like little nugget of an answer. And I think that goes to the point about it being unscripted and really looking at our podcast as getting to know someone else at the same time that we're learning from them, because then the questions just come off differently than if we're just asking them stuff that we already know the answer to. Just because I think that we and everyone that listens to the podcast kind of gets a different side of whoever we're talking with, even if it's just the two of us, because of the nature of our questions.
Yeah, that's a really great way of saying it. And I think that kind of goes back to the point of like us not wanting to control the outcome, because when you have such scripted questions and have a direction for how the conversation is gonna go, you kind of leave out the opportunity for that to totally change. And I feel like a lot of the time we would just follow the guest lead for questions that they reacted best to, and allowed them to really get in their zone of genius and express, things that we just could not know from like looking them up prior or anything online. So
yeah.
So what's the ad hoc lesson?
I can think of a couple. I think I don't know is a great first step to learning. I think that questions help us think from many different perspectives and angles. And then I guess another one would just be surprise is good.
Yeah.
Every time that we were surprised by an answer, and I think that always just increased the urgency of following up and getting more questions asked, getting to know our guest a little better, as well as just the full importance that we took from the podcast. With every surprise, man, like if we weren't doing this podcast, we hadn't invited this person, we wouldn't feel so excited about all that we learned and who we got to connect with. So yeah, maybe surprise is good.
I love that one. I love that one. Lesson five that you have here.
All right.
Share your story.
The fifth and final lesson, share your story. That's right.
It's kind of what we're doing now.
Finally. Yeah, I tried to, you know what I'm saying?
Off the mask.
Definitely going to be doing it more.
Yeah. Our audience hasn't even heard us really talk, bro.
No, not really.
They've pretty much heard us in like student mode, like very much learner, student of the game. I think we have talked with this tone like a couple of times, but I feel like it was always edited out of the podcast. Because it was like at the very end where they were just like asking us about stuff and
we
be all casual, but like
definitely
really good to be sharing our story now. But like when you first thought of this, what was the thing you were thinking about?
Right. Well, of course, I was thinking about the podcast, and in particular, the first question. Or the first like few questions that we ask every guest, right? Which is, what is the book that you chose? Why'd you choose it? What's the story behind it? And I think that even though I enjoyed all of the books that we read, they really did come to life in a new way when we got to hear from other people, like how important that book was to them. Like you just think about Lewis Gordon talking about Malcolm X for 3 hours, Dr. Jakia Carruthers, right? She had been thinking about The Color Purple for 18 years and had never had a conversation like the one that she had with us, just because we asked, just because we wanted her to share her story with the book. Another person I'm thinking of is Nina Collins, of course, or Alexis Milton, who had been dealing with such like huge grief and then turned to those books for support and just generally falling back in love with reading and that feeling of connection that you get.
Man.
Of course, Sol and George, right? Shout out to them. Talking about the importance of George Johnson sharing their own stories and the importance of just like that sense of connection, feeling like you're not the only person out there who's dealing with whatever it is that you are dealing with. So, I mean, yeah, sharing your stories is just, it was everywhere. It's everywhere in our podcast. And the only place that it wasn't was us sharing our own story. So I think that we got the memo from our 40 episodes and from talking with our mom and Simone and just people in our lives who really like support and are messing with the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was actually though talking with a friend last night, and I thought he was saying an interesting thing though. And he was arguing that folks are sharing their stories too much, that they're oversharing very small things on Twitter and kind of putting trauma on a lot of others. And I definitely felt that argument as he was saying it. I'm thinking what that means for this lesson though, to take someone like George's book. Like it's not on Twitter, and it feels like a little different because it's like you're choosing to read a book that's their story. Like it is in that wrapping And that story has impacted and changed so many lives positively. But then, yeah, like souls. But then also a lot of folks are like, no, like they're oversharing and trying to ban it. Do you think that there is a line where censorship or like being silent is a smarter choice than sharing? Or do you always think sharing is best?
Yeah. I mean, I think it depends on a lot of different things. But for example, you talking about the difference between George Johnson sharing their story through a book versus somebody sharing their story on Twitter, or even people sharing their story on our podcast. Like, these are all different mediums of expression, media over expression. And I think that the medium does matter, right? That's the whole Marshall McLuhan point about the right. medium being the message. And yeah, I think that there are some ways of sharing stories that are more traumatic than others or more inspiring. But at the same time, I guess I wonder like why. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a responsibility here, right? But I think it's more likely that people will keep it to themselves out of fear or feeling like they're the only person, which probably more destructive than the oversharing. I mean, we definitely do have a lot of issues with boundaries in our society, right? And thinking either that you have no boundaries whatsoever and therefore you can share everything, or
right.
like boundaries everywhere and therefore you can't share anything, right? So I think we're all mixed up in that way. But you know, sharing stories is how we connect with each other and how we relate to people. And I think that when you withhold sharing your stories, you kind of like you sell yourself short, you sell other people short, you sell your relationship short. I mean, it's totally, I'm not thinking of it in terms of telling all your business on Twitter, right?
Right.
I'm not thinking of it in that way necessarily. But, you know, even traumatic stories, though,
right.
do have that beautiful plot twist of just helping people heal, right? So it's kind of tough to say that, oh, like sharing your story is bad because you're traumatizing more people, but also there's a lot of hurt in the world. So it's, if it's about us being more connected, feeling like solidarity with other people, then, you know, a window into that, a door into that is always grief and pain and fear, right? And these like negative emotions, but they can, if we so choose, help us connect deeper with other people. So that's my first take on it.
Honestly, though, the way you just said that, sharing stories, communicating in general is a risk. It's like living is a risk. Like if you want to do anything, you're gonna upset or disappoint someone, but it doesn't matter, right? Because even for that person oversharing possibly their stories on Twitter, for 10 people they could want to block them, for the other 10 could have totally changed their life and met their best friend ever, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So
it's like a risk either way, but that's like literally doing anything.
Yeah. Like living is a risk. Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's another way to say lesson five, take the leap. Or take the baby step. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I was thinking? Actually, how we might have changed from the podcast.
Oh, what?
A thing kind of connected to the sharing our story is kind of thinking that everyone needs a podcast. And then you were the last person say this, and I actually do agree, but it's like also sounds like advice that you can't just give to everybody. But I think there are a specific subset of people, especially thinking about a lot of my friends, where like a podcast could be a great creative outlet just to get started. But what do you think about that advice?
You said, tell a specific number of people that podcasting is for everybody.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, no, I think everyone should start a podcast. Is, I mean, obviously, like, there's a limit on the amount of podcasts that get a lot of attention and a bigger audience and sponsorships or whatever. But I think when I think about how you've described podcasting as the sacred space that we've created for having conversations, for being open, vulnerable, listening, right? Connecting with other people. I mean, yeah, I hope everybody has something like that, right? I think maybe the recording itself or the structure of a podcast gives people permission to do that, or gives the signal that this is like a more sacred space or whatever. But it doesn't have to be recorded, obviously. I mean, we have been having these kinds of conversations for so long, and just because we started recording doesn't make it any more or less like sacred, all the conversations that we've had and forgotten about, right? They're still a part of us, right? And they're still kind of in the air, so to speak. But yeah, it's something about that kind of initiative and follow-up, like we're talking about, the importance of giving attention, seeing surprise as a good thing, and sharing your story, taking risks. I mean, those are all, I think, very positive developmental elements, right? That I would definitely recommend to anybody who was like interested, right? Because obviously there are some people who aren't interested. They don't need them to be recorded, right? And more power to you, right? It's just, I think that there are a lot of people out there who, as you said, could really benefit from one, because clearly we have. And I think even on the point of just the power of networking, right? And getting to know people around you or people that you are interested in learning from. I mean, it's got great potential.
Yeah, definitely. Because I feel like that was another reason that I had brought up when we had first started the podcast. I was like, dog, if we were to reach out to any of these writers and just be like, yo, let's talk, can I pick your brain? I would say very few of them would say yes. But right, there's something about this like win-win of the podcast just being promotional in general. Also just gives a excuse to do things that, yeah, that we want to do in general.
Definitely.
That eagerness that we've had to just learn from people and reach out to them, I think is just such a great spirit that will take us very far. And just, yeah, at the end of the day, I think we just have a big heart for caring about others. And I really just, everything's sweet, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So we're coming up on an hour, but I really want to ask you, what are you looking forward to in this next phase of Real Ballers Read and being in Chicago and just life in general?
Really having consistent daily practice. Feel like, yeah, over the last couple of years, we've just been moving all over the place, traveling a lot. We've talked about this in the last couple of weeks, but I think it really does feel like home there in Chicago. And I think that feeling is very important just for being able to immerse into the work that I'm doing more. Like, I honestly just here in the city, right? I'm in my apartment now. It's never felt like that homey. And I was saying yesterday too, I don't even get much sunlight here. And I want to go outside to the library, but then the library takes like forever to get to. I got to train or walk, and then when I'm there, some guy starts yelling at the top of his lungs. I'm just like, bro, like, where am I supposed to just quietly think and focus? And with Real Ballers Read, I'm just so excited to give more of ourselves. I think this is a great first step where we are growing into the confidence of, you know what? Like, we can say what we believe in, and we are still growing and learning, but I think we're at the point now where it's, I won't speak for you, but I feel very affirmed and confident in the things that I think and say. just giving more, man, and starting to build the community out. I feel like we all already have a great group of friends that we've made on IG, but to bring it more into real life and meeting all of our guests. I think it just feels like I'm excited for so many different things, but realizing all of them comes with just that feeling of like security of being at home and at peace. Thinking of the hierarchy of needs type deal, I think it will be a lot easier to just gain that energy and momentum to do it in our way. But what are you excited for this next phase of Real Ballers Read?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing you said, just on the consistent daily practice, the persistence, I mean, and for sure, just giving more of ourselves. I think we're totally on the same page about that. I'm really excited for getting more into YouTube and TikTok potentially, right? And keeping up with obviously the podcast and actually doing better than ever with the podcast and with Instagram, as we were talking about, lowering the bar, not being so perfectionist about just kind of what we're putting out and just doing it. And I think, I think that we have no idea who and where and how many people are out there that we can really connect with and hit it off with, continue to inspire, empower everything just by putting ourselves out there. And especially with just cranking up all the recording and work even more. I mean, there's definitely books in sight, right? And just more writing and definitely reading, obviously. So yeah, I'm just hyped, man. All around hyped.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's such a great way of putting it. And what are some of the books that you've been enjoying recently though? You just finished Elite Capture, right?
Yes. Yeah, I finished Elite Capture 2 days ago, and then I finished A Raisin in the Sun yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I just spent the whole day reading it. It was so good. It was so fun.
Great play. Wait, the first time we talked about Elite Capture, though, I'm pretty sure was when we talked to Terrence Jonathan, no?
Really?
Maybe Georgetown, right?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he's dope. He actually is like a Midwest born and bred too. He's kind of came up in Cincinnati. I met him in the spring. And we're about to teach his book for our class. Mm-hmm. And it's, bro, literally like you got to read it because, I mean, he's a philosopher, right? And this book reads like butter, bro. It's so smooth. It doesn't feel academic at all. He's got a sense of humor and he's still talking about these like really weighty topics. And I just thought you'd probably appreciate it not only for what he's talking about, but also just like the way that he's writing about philosophy. Oh, it's very accessible. And the book is only like 120 pages.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah, it's like a real not quick read, right? Because it's like dense intellectually, but it's not intimidating at all, right? And it's just an enjoyable, like, and very thought provoking book. And then Raisin in the Sun, also like relatively short, but I mean, I got into the story and just had to keep reading. Yeah, definitely a lot there that I'd love to keep talking about and writing about. But that's for next time. What about you though? What have you been reading?
Yeah, I was talking about the 12-week year, but I just started that. Yeah, bro. There was this book I think I was telling you about called Illiterate America.
Yes.
Jonathan Kazalba.
Yeah.
And this guy is tapped, bro. He's giving me definitely like the Wendell Berry vibes.
Oh wow. Like
Wendell Berry used like 20 times more like stats in his book. But I think that this book specifically, he was really trying, at least in this first chapter that I read, to kind of talk about the numbers of illiteracy and kind of some of the false narratives around it. But
yeah,
this book, bro, is really like mind blowing in terms of the amount of the number of Americans that can't read or write, and just how he spells out all of the impact of that societally and economically. Like there was literally this example that he gave of a cattle worker that couldn't read the bag of poison from a bag of feed. And so fed like all of these cows poison, bro, killed like.
Oh, man.
But it's, that was just one story of the profound impact. And going forward in America, I think that these numbers could potentially get even worse. Just how school and learning has changed just in the last couple of years. Like, I think it's really a thing that needs to be impacted, bro. And mm-hmm. that scale, that is for us to figure out, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, this has been great, bro.
Yeah, absolutely, man. This is a incredible first episode of the rest of the podcast. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. This definitely feels like our first season two. We kind of had a fake season two.
Yeah, it was a fake season two.
Somewhere there, but this really feels definitely. Like a new season.
Yeah, it really matters for like Apple Podcasts. Yeah, and speaking of Spotify and Apple Podcasts, if you're listening to this episode, if you liked hearing us talk one-on-one, please let us know. You can DM us on our IG at RealBallersRead, or even better, you could leave us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to us from. We'd love to hear from you and just check in with you on how you're feeling about the podcast. If you have any topics that you'd like us to talk about, books that you'd like us to talk about or review, please let us know. We're fully open to you, and just we really love and appreciate you for listening in to our show. So thank you.